VentureCast. Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know, so I don't have time to micromanage them, nor do they need it. They know more about this than I do. They are the experts. I trust that they will go out, do a good job. And if they have any issues, they know they call me, you know, and they'll call and be like, hey, this is what the client asked. I think we, you know, we need to do it differently or do this, right? So we have open communication and I just kind of let them go until they need me and they know I'm here.
Welcome to Think Business with Tyler, sharing our methods and strategies for success. Join in on our conversations with business owners as we highlight their triumphs and detail how they overcame the challenges they faced while continuing to grow and scale their business. It's time to think life, think success, and think business with your host, Tyler Martin.
Hey, listeners, get ready for a powerful episode where we sit down with the inspiring Chelsea Husum. Join us as she dives into the highs and lows of running a growing construction business, managing life's curveballs, and her inspiring journey from feeling unfulfilled as a teacher to becoming a best-selling author and sought-after speaker. Don't miss this candid chat filled with real talk and valuable insights. Hey, Chelsea, welcome to the Think Business with Tyler podcast show. How is it going today?
I'm awesome. How are you?
I'm doing great too. Excited to be talking with you. I think we're going to have a fun show ahead.
Yes. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Sure. Hey, I'd love to start out with, can you share with me what you do professionally? And then I'm also going to ask you a little bit about yourself personally.
Sure. So I live near Denver, Colorado. I own a construction company here. We do core drilling and ground penetrating radar. So it's concrete scanning and then the circular cutting in concrete. So mainly I'm in commercial construction, working with mechanical and electrical companies, some general contractors. So that's what I do professionally. I'm also a best-selling author and speaker. And then I have two sons who are 7 and 10. I've been married to my husband for, I think, 13 years this year. Yeah, we like to camp and boat, be outside, active, and enjoy Colorado.
Well, you're definitely in one of arguably the prettiest places on earth. So I can see how you like to be outside.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So it sounds like your business is business to business. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And then I imagine that's pretty heavy equipment related. Like there's a lot of heavy equipment involved, isn't there?
Yeah. The GPR unit's pretty small.
Oh.
It's a very expensive machine, but it sends radar into the concrete and they actually have to read the parabolas to know if there's something in the concrete besides concrete or not for safety. And then, yeah, the core rigs are pretty intense. They're pretty heavy, heavy duty, but, I got some great employees and they just busted out. They're awesome. So
that is cool. You know, my first question is, how do you get in an industry like that? I mean, you don't generally think it's probably male dominated. I'm going to assume. How did you end up there?
So I have a Spanish degree and a broadcast journalism degree. After college, I worked in experiential marketing and trade shows for about 5 or 6 years. And then I just really didn't feel like I was doing anything worthwhile with my life. So I did some soul searching, decided I wanted to be a teacher. So I quit that job, got my master's in education, and became a high school Spanish teacher for 10 years. Totally different. And then the last year, I remember, was pretty brutal. I got called an effing waste of space by a kid. And I was like, oh, okay. I was just like, I do not like this anymore. So and it was interesting. I was desperate for any other job. Like, sure. I was like, I'm open to literally anything. I applied all over. Nothing, like crickets. And the only job I got offered was as an office manager for a different construction company. They worked in commercial construction. So that's actually how I got into construction. And then I started my company in March of 2020. and kind of just really just built the company that year. And then I worked that other job and ran my company until April of 22, actually. So finally stepped out and was like, I can't do this anymore. It is way too much. Yeah. So finally got to step out and just run my company.
Does cash flow have you down? Profit not where you think it should be? Maybe it's the long hours. Let's meet to see if I can help. I bridge driving the financial performance of your business to hit growth and success targets. Book a complimentary meeting at meetforgrowth.com to get started now. Once again, that's meetforgrowth.com. I look forward to talking with you. And thanks for listening to the show.
I can't do this anymore. It is way too much. Yeah. So finally got to step out and just run my company.
Wow. So, you know, it's interesting. So you said as a teacher, you know, it sounded like the students were a little bit difficult. Mm-hmm. I find it interesting, you know, construction generally you think of as a male dominated industry. So I would think like you were kind of jumping out of one fire and potentially going into another. What's that like being, you know, a female in a male dominated industry?
Yeah. I mean, so I think the stats are like 9% of construction is women right now, which is, it used to be 11. So it's gone down.
Wow.
And that's all women in construction. So when you bring in like female owners, it's a lot less.
Sure.
I really haven't had a hard time stepping into it. I've been received very well. And I really, it's just, I'm me and I'm myself. And, you know, people get to know me, my style. I'm really mellow, like our company and stuff really quickly. And I think they just appreciate that. And the cool thing is now I've met a lot of women in Denver in construction. Some of my girlfriends have been working 25, 30 years in the industry. So they actually dealt with a lot more than I have. And, you know, they were in the field. I'm not in the field every day. Yes, I will be on a job site sometimes, but I do everything else. So I'm in my office or doing business development or going to meetings or meeting with clients also. But I have a few female friends that they own companies in construction. They're doing multi-millions a year, which is so freaking cool to me. And they just really, they become my good friends and I can call them and be like, hey, this happened. What would you do? You know, and I can learn and they're willing to mentor me and share their opinions because they've been there, you know, and I'm kind of newer at it. You know, it was like when I was building it, I was newer at it. So I've made some really good friends that I can call and have honest conversations and get feedback, which is really amazing.
Yeah, that is cool. What are, when you say, like, when we think of goals for your business, I know you're high six figures now, your goal is to probably surpass into seven figures.
Yep.
How do you, when you say like 1 year out versus 5 years out, what are kind of goals of the business?
Yeah, I mean, definitely we've been almost doubling every year. So that really is, you know, to keep with that, I know as you get larger, there's more growing pains, things like that. You're not going to double every single year, right? But I mean, that's what we've been doing so far, at least. So I definitely think we can easily get to seven figures this year. And I don't want to grow and have a huge company. I will definitely continue to add technicians as needed when the capacity, you know, when it's like stretching my capacity. That will be the next step. And really just, we've built a solid base of really pretty large companies, some small companies. We work with everybody. And it's just continue building those relationships. So we are the go-to. People are like, oh my gosh, I'd much rather use you than anybody else. You know what I mean? And to me, that's success and growth is when I have more companies coming just to us. And they're like, we will always come to you first.
Yeah, that's cool. What do you see? What's the biggest challenge in your industry? Would you say getting good people, cash flow, finding customers? What stands out as being the biggest challenge, would you say?
I'd say those top two, operating capital, you know, when I bill net 30 and construction, sometimes 60, 90, I'm like, hi, where's my money? You know,
cash flow,
you know, and it's just nicely, harassing the people like, hey, but some of the jobs it's pay when paid. So they're waiting for money from the general contractor to pay their subs, right? So overall, I have some clients that pay me early before the net 30. I'm like, you guys are awesome. What's happening? Like, thank you. You know, but cash flow early on was difficult. Now we're up and running, but I remember the early days, like, oh my God, every week, Friday, I got to make payroll, you know, and it goes quickly. And then, yeah, secondly, I think is finding good people. So I have been really lucky to the technicians that I have. I kind of don't remember where the first one heard about me, but he's an expert. He's been doing this forever. He could do it in his sleep. And I'm like, hi, I have a company. Do you want to work for me? And he's, you know, he's probably like, oh my God, because he's worked for all the big companies in town. He's probably like, this lady's insane. But he came on. And then when I knew that I needed other people, I go to my employees and I'm like, hey, I need to hire. Do you guys know anybody? So literally the next person that I hired, I went to my employee and I said, hey, I got to hire somebody. I'm like, do you know anybody? He's like, oh yeah, I got this guy. He's good. I'm like, well, how do you know he's good? Well, I trained him 5 years ago, so I know he's good. I'm like, done and hired. And then the next employee, I went back to him and was like, hey, I need to hire. Oh yeah, we got this guy. We'll have him call you. And you know, they either see our van on site and they come up and talk to my employees. And even now, you know, construction has those ebbs and flows, right? Where it's slammed and then it's a little slower. Last month, one of my employees texted me. He's like, hey, you know, it's kind of slower everywhere. I've had numerous people call me saying, hey, are you guys hiring? So people are now just calling us asking if we're hiring, which is cool because they hear kind of about our culture. And I definitely do things very differently than the big companies for sure. And my employees are like, this is amazing. This doesn't happen elsewhere. I don't know why you do this, but we love it. Keep it up.
Yeah. So two things. I want to backpedal to the cash flow. Any tips that you've learned along the way in terms of managing cash flow? Is it sound like one thing was kind of staying in front of people that owe you money, but anything else stand out that was useful as, especially as you were in your early stages?
Yeah. I mean, for me, I always like to keep a couple weeks payroll or about a month payroll in savings, just there as a buffer. Cause you never know. Sometimes, oh, we lost the invoice or whatever. You might have a really big payment coming in. You know, there's always something that could happen. Yeah. So I personally like to have that backup in my head. Yeah. I got a few weeks payroll sitting right there. And then it is just staying in front of the people. Yeah. You know, sometimes weekly I reach out if it's late. Like I'm on you weekly. And now I hired somebody to do that for me. So I don't have to harass them.
Yeah. Delegate. So that's, it sounds like you're now in the next stage of your evolution is now it sounds like you can delegate a little more.
Yeah. I hired a part-time lady to help me send invoices and do like certified payroll, which is, whew, that's a whole different thing, you know? So yeah, I literally do everything myself minus those things. So it's just at some point, I can't physically do it all. If I'm on a site or I'm at a meeting or whatever, at an event for 4 hours, I have to come home and catch up, you know, or I spent last year, I turned 40. So I was like, I want to go to Italy. I worked the whole time. I didn't have an employee to help me at all. I didn't have my part-time lady. So I literally spent 10 days in Italy and then I would come home to the villa and work and catch up on everything. You know what I mean? And I've been in Mexico. That's kind of, As people know, if you built a business, that's where you start. And it is what it is. You make it work.
Do you see yourself as someone, as you continue to grow and scale, that you can let go of things and be able to delegate so you're not so in the weeds of, you know, having to come home or on vacation, come back and having to work all day essentially to get stuff done?
Yeah, I think I can. I mean, eventually, as long as like I learned the hard way when I started at the other construction company, I honestly got like 2 days of training and then I just got thrown in and I was like, oh my God, what just happened? It was really rough. Now I know what I'm doing. So as long as I can train them well and I'm really organized. So I'm like, okay, you're sitting here, you're taking notes. We're doing this a few times, you know, and I'll help you as much as needed. But I definitely think that's where it's going eventually. Probably in the next year, let's say, as I focus on other things also, I'm pulled in a lot of different directions. So yeah, I think if it's the right person and I trust them and know they're very hardworking, you know, I think I will. I have to do that eventually if I want to keep doing other things or growing the business.
Yeah. So now I want to go back over to your team. So it sounds like you're building some reputation where people are now applying to you. What's your leadership style, one? And then two, what are your thoughts around retaining good people and making people feel like they're part of your company so they're hopefully staying with you a longer time?
Yeah. So I'm super mellow, but I expect a lot. Like I'm very clear with what I expect and this, you know, I expect that we're working hard. We're actually out there caring and showing that we care what we do. We're experts. But I also, my management style is I'm not a micromanager. So sometimes I won't talk to my employees all day. I email them for the night before, tell them where to go. They each have their own van with their equipment. They just take it home at night. So they're not like having to come to me. They have everything they need. They go shopping to get supplies when they need. They don't even ask me unless it's like big. They're like, hey, I'm like, yeah, go do it. You know, so I don't have time to micromanage them, nor do they need it. They know more about this than I do. They are the experts. I trust that they will go out, do a good job. And if they have any issues, they know they call me, you know, and they'll call and be like, hey, this is what the client asked. I think we, you know, we need to do it differently or do this, right? So we have open communication and I just kind of let them go until they need me and they know I'm here. One thing that is, I don't think I've heard of anyone doing this, but knowing that I was starting a startup, I have to have good people. Construction, I mean, people could die if they aren't safe, if they don't know what they're doing, right? So I have to have the best. So I pay my employees for 40 hours a week, whether they're working or not. So like they might be sitting at home on a Thursday because I didn't have them scheduled for that day. They're still getting paid and they're getting paid a lot more than they used to get at their last company because I realized that these are people. They have lives. They have families to take care of, right? We all need to make money. So I pay them well and I guarantee their salary more or less. You know, it's pretty much a salary because I need good people because sometimes we're slammed, other times where it's a little more, you know, it'll be a slower week, let's say, and they would have had to quit by now, you know, if I was just paying them on when they worked. So I do that. I give them 3 weeks vacation right when they start. I don't do the whole like, you know, you earn it, you accrue it, whatever. I could care less. Like I trust that they're going to they're not taking advantage of it and they haven't so far. And then the last 2 years, which I'll probably continue to do is I give them the week off paid between Christmas and New Year's also. So really they get 4 weeks paid vacation.
That's generous.
At that point, if they want to, and they can take more time off, it's just unpaid.
Right.
This last year I've been able to offer dental, vision and a health plan so that I wasn't able to offer that in the beginning, but I'm proud to do that now. So weirdly, we don't work nights and weekends really. I learned the hard way. It's like we've worked a little bit like at the airport, let's say nights. But then if I'm pulling the day, the guys who normally work in the day to the night, I have 2 days on both ends. I can't work, right? So it's not even worth it for me. And so now I've learned kind of the hard way to be like, when clients call, they're like, hey, Saturday, Sunday, you know, midnight, whatever. I say, hey, you know, I'm a small business. I don't have the manpower. I don't have the capacity to do nights and weekends. They're like, all right, cool. We'll call you next time. You know, and they just know now. That's not my thing. It's not my niche. I don't need to fill every niche.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's genius. Being able to say no. I think that's one of the hardest things as us as small business owners is to say no to money, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
it is.
You have to pick your battles, right? I mean, otherwise you're just hating life and probably not even doing as good of a job as you're capable of.
Yeah. And I mean, if you work nights, it's just hard in general to switch that schedule. But if you normally work days to pull the nights, I mean, again, it's a safety issue. They're not used to working nights and I don't sleep well when I know they're working all night. I don't, cause I'm worried, you know, I just want to be, oh, if they call, you know, so it's just not our thing. And yeah, clients are like, all right, cool.
So love the autonomy you give your staff. That's so cool. They have their own vehicle. They can even, sounds like they can even buy what they want to buy within reason.
Yeah, they have their own credit cards.
What do you do though? Because if it hasn't happened yet, you're going to have probably an employee at some point that goes rogue on you and either buys stuff for themselves or kind of doesn't go to that plan very well. Have you had that yet? Or how would you deal with it if you do run into that situation?
I had one employee that he was really great and he was with me a few years and early on, you know, he had let me know that he was a single parent, had to start later on like Thursday, Friday. Great. Just let me know up front. I was like, yeah, that sounds great. But as the years went on, it started getting later and later and then having to leave at like noon or one to pick up kids from school. And I'm like, it got to a point where I felt like I was kind of being taken advantage of.
Yeah.
And so we just had the tough conversation and, you know, decided like if they were going to go work somewhere else that, you know, just was a better fit. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So it sounds like you're totally prepared to face that conversation if it comes up.
Yes. I don't like it. I'm always too nice.
Yeah. Nobody does.
But yes, you ultimately are the boss. You have to make the decisions for the best, you know, the best of the company, right?
If you're a business owner feeling stuck in your business, overwhelmed, responsible for everything that happens, and working long hours, Tyler helps his clients develop processes, hire high-performing team members, and better understand their financial metrics and numbers to allow for a more predictable, less hands-on business. To schedule a free, no-pressure consultation, head to thinktyler.com and click the meeting button. Tyler would love to see if he can help you work on your business, not in your business. Schedule a consultation today at thinktyler.com. Think life, think success, think business.
You ultimately are the boss. You have to make the decisions for the best, you know, the best of the company, right?
Very cool. Very cool. Hey, so I want to shift gears a little bit. You've been very open about adversity and trauma that you've experienced, including sexual assault. Mm-hmm. Kind of wanted to talk with you about, you know, how you overcame that. You know, how does that kind of mold who you are now, especially mm-hmm. as it relates to like being an entrepreneur and a female entrepreneur in a male industry? Can you share a little bit in terms of that and how it's framed you?
Yeah. So I'll share two stories, and I'm going to share these because it's totally different how I reacted and dealt and healed from them. But yes, 20 years ago, I was studying in Ecuador and South America, studying Spanish, and my professor there drugged me, raped me, and I woke up in an abandoned house by myself in wow. a foreign country. I could have died. I mean, there's so many things that could have gone even worse, right?
Yeah.
And I remember waking up alone on a mattress on the floor. I looked around, there's no furniture. I have no clue where I'm at. It's morning now. And so I tried to get out. I kept getting electrocuted. They have this like gate and I couldn't get out for like a half hour. I was getting electrocuted. Finally, somehow I'm like sobbing, get out. And this is crazy to me that I did this, but I, you know, it's morning. I'm like, well, what else? It's school time. It's class time. So I got a taxi and I went back to the school in the same clothes I had on the night before. And I had to look him in the face. Wow. And I never told a soul at all. I didn't tell my parents. I didn't tell friends. I didn't tell anyone at the school, like no one for 20 years at all. Like I just this year started telling people. I told my parents, my husband, right? So I just shoved that down so deep. I locked it and I threw away the key. I think it was so traumatic. I pretended it didn't happen because I don't even know how I would have dealt, like worked through that. So I did absolutely no healing at that time. So fast forward to end of 23. So recently, I had been in a really bad lawsuit for 2.5 years of my life. So again, I'm feeling fear. Like it's weird. The same feelings were coming up from 20 years ago to now. I'm feeling fear. I'm feeling attacked. I'm waking up covered in hives. I'm like so depressed. This is like the most heavy soul sucking thing I've ever dealt with in my life. I'm having my kids ask me, Mom, when are we losing our house? Mommy, here's $12. You need it more than I do. Right. You know, it's just to wake up to like make it through the day, to be a mom, a wife, a business owner. I mean, it was just brutal, brutal. But the difference now, you know, as a 40-year-old woman, I know myself. And I remember one morning I woke up, I'm like, I am not okay at all. Like, I am not okay. And I texted a girlfriend who's a therapist and I said, I need help. I'm not okay. She's like, I got you. So I relied heavily on her during that time. I quit drinking because I'm like, this is so hard. I don't need to be feeling like crap.
Yeah.
Being hungover and that bringing my mood down. I need to get out in the sunshine. I need to move my body. I need to like it cancel some meetings or not go to every meeting. Like who cares? At that point, I'm like, be gentle with myself because I can't do it. I'm like hanging on by a thread anyway, right? So it's interesting to me that, you know, in completely different situations, how I felt powerless and, you know, depression, living in fear, right? But now at least I'm a like more evolved person and I've done the work on myself that to know like I'm not okay and I need to actually take care of myself to dig out of this or it's not going to happen. It feels like it'll break you when you're in it, right? But for tough times, we all go through adversity. You have to take the steps to make your mind, your body feel okay if you want to move forward.
Yeah. Lawsuits in particular can be soul sucking too, because I mean, you have to cut the big checks to the attorney. So that's like, you know, you get the knife and they twist it and then they just seem to drag on forever and ever.
It's horrible. And the things people say about you, you're like, what? You can just sue apparently for anything. And wow. This, it's brutal.
Yeah. Well, good for you and how you chose to deal with, you know, that type of trauma. And overcome it. I can't even imagine though being in the classroom with someone that, you know,
it's stupid to me. I don't even know like how I did that or why, but apparently it was just that traumatic that boom, I just like, it was just like, that didn't happen. Yeah. How odd.
Wow. Hey, on to a little bit lighter topic, just shifting gears. You mentioned all the stuff you've got going on. How do you handle work-life balance? What, anything you could share with us in terms of keeping that balance of running a growing business? You've got a husband, you've got children, and then your own personal needs. How do you do that?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. As business owners know, there's like ebbs and flows, right? When you it maybe needs more of your attention and the balance isn't as good, and then maybe you have more balance. But I mean, I think for me, it's really, I've realized what makes me feel good. What are the healthy habits that I focus on? So for me, I go to bed really early. I'm like a grandma practically. Like I'm a boring, boring old lady. I'm in bed by 9 at the latest. I get up at 5:30. I go right to the gym because my, well, being in construction, my phone could start ringing at 6 or 7. Yeah. Usually about 7 is like the official, you know, you can call people time, but I've had texts and calls before. So I go to the gym first before like my family's still sleeping. That's for me. I need that, right? So that is a non-negotiable for me. You know, setting boundaries, like I don't, for meetings, for example, when I started my company, I have all these bankers and insurance people reaching out to me like, hey, can we grab a coffee and see how I can support you? And I used to do it. Now I know what my time is worth. And it's not worth my time because guess what? I'm not switching insurance or bankers because that is horrible. And I've done it before and I have zero plans to do it. So really it's a waste of their time and mine. So I know that now. And I nicely say no, you know, it's like if this meeting or event or whatever it is, if even if it's personal, if it's not moving your business forward or it's not moving your personal goals forward, then no, it's a no. You don't have to like explain it. No is a complete answer, right? And, you know, just finding, like, I work really hard, but I don't work 60 hours a week because I don't need to. I get in here, I bust it out, and then I go live my life. And yes, like I've said, I've been on vacation working. I, you know, we'll go up skiing with my kids on spring break. We'll ski and I'll come back and work while they're in the pool or whatever. It's, you just kind of find a way to make it work, but you have to know what is important to you first in your life. Make those the priorities. And then you can actually fill in the business around it. You can. You just have to be cognizant of it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great stuff. So it sounds like setting boundaries is a big one there.
Yeah, for sure. And healthy habits. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Another question I have for you. Do you have any advice? So I've got a lot of great female listeners. I know because I get the emails and usually get some really cool things that they say. And I'm just wondering for someone that maybe does want to go into a male dominated industry and they're female, any words of wisdom or anything you could share in terms of how they should prepare themselves or what they should do to maybe be more successful at it?
And I will say whether it's going into a male dominated or let's say starting a new company, like know yourself, be confident, know what you have to offer. That no matter if you're, you know, if I'm walking into a room full of men, I just walk in. I'm like, here I am. I'll march on a job site with my hard hat and high viz. And I just march around that site like I own it. It's, you know, I think you really need to do work on yourself to be confident and love yourself and know who you are in order for that to translate to being confident in maybe those uncomfortable situations.
Very cool. Okay. Yeah, that's good. I like that. Anything you would have done differently, like now that you've had some experience running your business for a while in this particular industry, or maybe you got all your experience when you were actually working for the other construction industry where you were already kind of prepared, but anything like caught you off guard or like you must occasionally have some men that mansplain, is that the term, or do things where they're, you know, they seem like they know a little bit more than you. How do you deal with that when that happens?
Well, luckily with the other company, I learned a lot of things not to do.
Okay.
Like it was ran very poorly. And I'm like, oh my God,
that's a good learner.
It was really, I'm like, okay. And I'm going to come over here and my QuickBooks is going to be updated daily instead of going back for years. You know, I mean, just all this stuff. You're like, how are you in business still? Like truly. But I'll get calls and people will be like, oh, well, what do you do for the company? I'm like, oh, I own it. And they're like, oh, okay, cool. You know, you're like a little surprised. They think I'm some receptionist or whatever. But yeah, I think it's just, you know, knowing who you are and people, if you go in and you're nervous or you're questioning yourself, they're going to respond that way. But if you go in like, yep, this is me. I know what I'm doing. Bring it. You know, they respond accordingly.
Yeah. There's definitely something to be said for if you convey that you belong there, people definitely perceive you different.
For sure. And actually, I was at an event last week for women in construction, and we were having an interesting conversation that, and I've heard this from a few women, they will go on a job site and they'll be like the main person, the main person in charge or the boss on that site, let's say. They go there, they're standing in, they're the only female, they're standing in a group of men, and they, like, let's say there's a female and a man from the same company. Well, they're all talking to the man, and then he's like, I don't know, ask her. But they're like, it's interesting that they never look at me first thinking I know what I'm talking about. And they keep talking to the guy. And then he's like, no, but she's the one in charge. Like, talk over here, right? So it's just interesting that that's just like an ingrained thing. Maybe it's not, I don't think they're trying to be rude or, you know, are trying to do it on purpose, but they just don't assume that she's in charge, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It is interesting. I've seen that quite a bit in my career. So I know what you're talking about. Yeah. It sounds like you handle it very elegantly. Okay. I want to close here, wrap up here talking about your book. So in addition to running companies, raising families, growing companies, you also wrote a book and you've got a book called Real Vibes Only, Unapologetic Confessions of a Hot Mess Mompreneur. Yep. And this book has 46 reviews and it's rated at 4.9. So it's got an amazing review to it. Can you tell us a little bit about the book? What was the reason for writing it and what do you hope to accomplish with it?
Yeah. So I never wanted to write a book ever. It was not on my list. I was in a women's entrepreneur group in Denver and I heard this woman speak who owns a publishing house. And I was like, I love her. I love her energy. So I talked to her. I'm like, I think I could do this, still having no clue what I would write about. And really, when I sat down to write, the book is just a bunch of short stories of things that I've gone through in my life. Some of them I mentioned, some are kind of lighter, some are in the middle, but it's just really, it is trying, well, it's being real. Like the first chapter is, if you're a perfect mom, don't read this. And then I list all the crazy things my kids did that week. And like why I was crying in the bathroom, like why is this so difficult? You know, or juggling life, business, you know, parenting, all the different things. But I want people to be real. And there's so much deeper connection when we can pretend, like stop pretending that we have to be perfect and suffer in silence if we're going through a hard time, but just be like, hey, yeah, this is really hard. And you can actually find true connection with other people because people just want to feel seen and heard and not alone, you know? And I want to give permission to people to be like, whatever you've gone through in life, which I guarantee every person listening has gone through adversity. That's the guarantee of human life, of human existence. You can get out of it. You know, you have to dig through it. So it's hopefully inspiring people to just be real, own their stories and know that you can still go out and like chase your dreams, you know, even when you're in hard times. I want people to know I'm not perfect, but I'm always trying to be better.
Does cash flow have you down? Profit not where you think it should be? Maybe it's the long hours. Let's meet to see if I can help. I bridge driving the financial performance of your business to hit growth and success targets. Book a complimentary meeting at meetforgrowth.com. to get started now. Once again, that's meetforgrowth.com. I look forward to talking with you. And thanks for listening to the show.
I want people to know I'm not perfect, but I'm always trying to be better.
Yeah. I love this sentence or two that's in the description of the book. It says, her extremely personal and vulnerable stories show us the beauty of embracing imperfections and adversity and how they mold us into badass warriors. I love that.
Yes, it's true. And I've had so many messages from people being like, thank you for just saying it. I've been feeling that way. It's like you're just talking to me. you know, which I love.
Yeah, that's awesome. Good job. I mean, writing a book is tough, so that's cool, especially when you're managing a growing business. I mean, that's amazing. And you're on some trip, I think you said Italy, and you're working at night. Yeah. So it's like you're juggling a lot of balls.
Yeah.
Down. So, hey, your website, and I'll put this in the show notes, ChelseaHewsom.com, mm-hmm. ChelseaHewsom.com, and I'll put the spelling in that in the show notes. If people wanted to reach out to you, is that the place you want them to go to, or anywhere else would be preferred?
Yeah, I think that's the best way. You can find my social links. You can find info on about the book, speaking, just all kinds of stuff, and connect with me. And honestly, if anything, you know, resonated with you today, I love to hear people or stories. Or if you're going through a hard time and need somebody to talk to, I am here. You know what I mean? I love helping people know they're not alone, and you got this.
Very cool. Love it. Mm-hmm. Well, hey, thanks for being a guest on the show. Thanks for sharing so much wisdom. And I think about 35 minutes, we covered a lot of stuff.
Thank you. This was great.
And you were a star, so I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. This is awesome.
Okay, have a great one. Take care, Chelsea.
Thank you. You too.
That's all for this episode of Think Business with Tyler. But we have plenty more resources to help you in your pursuit of business excellence on our website at thinktyler.com. If you'd like to be featured in a future episode of the show, feel free to reach out to us on social media at think_Tyler. We look forward to helping you think life, think success, and think business.
Ever thought about starting your own podcast? Do you have a business or a message you want to share with the world?
Well, now it's easier than ever with Electricast. Hi, I'm Mark Netter.
And I'm Peter Rafelson. We're the founders of Electricast Media.
Whether you want to start a new podcast or already have one, join Electricast to grow your audience, monetize your content, and build your community.
With our simple sign-up, you get free promotion, world-class analytics, premium ads, and personal support.
Go to Electricast.com and join our community today.
Electricast. Transform your influence.
Hi, I'm Lisa Cadet, host of Her Extraordinary Life by Design podcast, where we celebrate women who are shaping their lives one extraordinary day at a time. I speak with women from all over the world about what they do and how they are passionately pursuing their dreams and creating meaningful impacts on their communities. So come join us and learn about all there is to learn about these extraordinary women. Electricast.